thank you this morning. Appreciating you, Lord, for spreading our lives to see yet another beautiful week. Lord, especially today, the morning of resurrection. Thank you for the past week, your cares and grace upon every one of us, your love that you have expressed in form of healings, protection, provision, answers to prayers. Lord, this week has gone again, and there have been testimonies of great and mighty things that you have done for us. We bless you. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are here to do. And we are thanking you for what you are doing in the lives of your people by the message of the hour, by the work of healings, by the work of deliverance. Lord, we are grateful to you, the work of salvation. You are the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only Provider, the only Healer, the Almighty God, the lover of our souls. We honor you this morning, recognizing your sovereignty in the midst of your people. We bless you. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you this morning, asking that you be gracious to us as you are giving us this opportunity again, Master Savior, to be in your presence, to be blessed of you, to be changed of you, to be transformed by you, to be healed by you, to be saved by you. All that we need, the faith that we need to partake of this, Heavenly Father, can only come from you. Lord, may you anoint our faith in the name of Jesus Christ. The prophet said, we can only have faith as God gives us faith. Lord, do that for us today, Lord. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Let your word be inspired, that it might bring faith to our hearts. Lord, that we might experience the reality of your promises. Let it be as we commit ourselves to you for the entire services of the day, that you will glorify your name. Joy and blessings will be our portion. Glory and honor will be yours, Father. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Welcome ourselves again to the house of God as we open our Bible to our usual scripture reading, Revelation chapter 21. I'll read from verse 1 as we continue. Alright. Revelation 21. I read from verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which hath the seven vials full of the seven plagues, last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. You can be seated. And in the city lieth, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the buildings of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth the emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pairs, every separate gate was of 1 pair, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, but the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb had the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination or make it a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our heart. God bless you. Once again, we remind ourselves that we are on the topic, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. We have come a long way. And by the grace of God, we are continuing this morning with the other part. Last Sunday, we tried to look at the outside of the city. And I think there was a question directly linking that together. So that is why we attempted that. I am doing some studies on the millennium, because of the question that came to me the other time. So we will use that question to wrap up the sermon in due time. God bless you. So So we have seen what is within the city and what is outside of the city. The prophet told us that there will be. Let's give a little review. We are talking about the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. That is the home where Jesus Christ being the bride and the true church, the church of the firstborn, the church of Jesus Christ, will live with Jesus in eternity. There are two types of churches. We have the church and our church. As our evangelist normally writes on the board, he will emphasize the capital C church means the bride, and the small C church represents the denominations. And we know that the reason why we have these two churches is because God has a choice of who becomes his bride. We are not the one that determines whether we are going to be part of the bride. He has determined that before we came to the face of the earth here. Praise be to God. That is what our prophet taught. And that is why the prophet said that there is not going to be a mansion vacant. Because God is working upon his people. He has sent the word to prepare them. That just like he is preparing the first square city. This first square city is the future home. It's the home that God, the divine architect, has designed by himself to be the right place for him and his wife to live together. Yesterday, our brother Joseph wedded his wife, and they have a home that they have gone to. Jesus Christ also has a home that he has prepared. So the marriage supper is going to take place in the sky, and after that, we are coming to live eternally with him on the face of the earth here. Praise be to God. And the Bible gave us the description of the city, and that is what we have been going through. We have talked about the inside of the city, that will be avenues, that will be streets of transparent gold, buildings of built of gold, you know. And there's no man, no rich man on the earth there that can build his entire house with gold. They can have some few, you know, settings in the house that will be of gold, like Trump. I have seen a sitting room where they showed it, I think during his first term. I saw his sitting room. You see materials made of gold in his sitting room to show that he's a rich man. But he can't build his entire house with gold because of the cost of it. But yeah, the prophet said the streets alone where we'll be walking will be made of pure gold. The building is gold. Well, it's not enough to hear about it. But the best we did to play a party card of it. Praise be to God. Now the prophet told us that the outside of it too, there will be people living there, and we have looked at that. So I want us, because of time this morning, and the prophet told us that the city, the people that will partake of eternity are the overcomers. In the future home, paragraph 184. Let us begin our reading as we get this started. On top of Mount Zion, paragraph 184. We read in John in Revelation chapter 6 verse 14, see, it departed at the scroll. The Bible said that John said, I saw the heaven and the earth depart as a scroll. John, that's Revelation 4, right? Revelation chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus said, heavens and earth shall pass away. Or other words, heavens and earth shall be changed. We have treated that. But we just have to lean on this for what we are going to say. See, use that same word right there again. Not annihilated. For later in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2 to 24, he saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven and sitting upon the earth. It doesn't mean it is annihilated. The system will be changed. The system will change. Daniel saw the same. Sorry. I have to leave that and come over to somewhere here. Yes. Paragraph 429. I think I missed that one. No, leave it. Leave it. Let me read it. Daniel saw the same thing. A rock struck the wall, was hewn out with our hands, and the whole image of the system broke down and become like chaff on a summer threshing floor. And the wind packed it away, and the rock itself grew into a great mountain that covered the heart. Watch that mountain now in a little bit. That mountain covered the heart. Paragraph 425. Oh, holy mountain, there will be a street of transparent gold, avenues and houses and parks. If you want to read this, Revelation 21 verse 18, we have just read that. The tree of life will be there. 12 different manners of fruits, one each month, will be born on it. The people that eat this fruit, they will change their diet every month. And it is for only the overcomers. Do you know that? It isn't for the denominations. You say, you mean that, Brother Abraham? Let's turn to Revelation 2. Just a minute and find it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Let us read. Find out whether it is really the truth or not that it is for the overcomers. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 reads like this, and he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is. Now remember, he is not talking to the Jews now. This is the church, the Gentile. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of God. Overcomers only. Overcomers only. That overcome the beast. Overcome his mark. That's Catholicism, Protestantism, and denominationalism. Who overcome the beast is marked the letter of his name. He will have a right to the tree of life, to enter into the gates where nothing that defies can ever go in. See? Think of it now, just a minute now, as we go just a little bit further. Tree of life will be for the overcomers only. The leaves will be for the healing of the nations, that is, the kings that live in there, bring their glory in. When they bring their honor in and lay it before the throne of God, just like the outside. The 11 tribes brought in, every one of them, a tent of Levite. See, when they bring their honor in into from the blessed land, in that they will reach from the tree of life, break off a holy leaf, a tree of life leaf, and they will walk out together. There is no more war. Everything is at peace. The leaves a memorial for the healings of the nations. The same tree, not like Adam. There was a tree of life in the Garden of Eden that he might have eaten from it if he hadn't fallen. That tree of life reminded him all the time that his youth was continually going on. See, same with the nations. The leaf will be for the healing of the nations. Notice, not the sickness now. It's not for healing of sicknesses. You will have the same night. You will have the same right that Adam did. Done with the holy leaf. Act. Each king taking a leaf. Notice the river of life. Perhaps many little streams making it up now in the heart. Praise be to God. The prophet here is emphasizing to us that is for the overcomers. About here, he emphasized overcomers only. And he told us what the overcomers will overcome. They overcome the beast in paragraph 429. Help us display again. Overcomers only that overcome the beast. Overcome is mark. That's Catholicism. And I want you to know that there is nobody that is going to be in the four square city. There is nobody that is going to be in the new earth that will not be an overcomer here. The bride is a special breed. That's number one. The reason the 144,000 will be killed was because they will kick against the Pope at the last time. He will enter into alliance with them by deceit. But by the time he shows his color and they will not recognize that, so you are the Antichrist, they will back off. Backing off, they will face them. Because they will not support him. They will be against him, so they will overcome him. That is why they will be killed. The foolish virgins will shed their blood. The foolish virgin that will be there, they will not worship the beast. I want you to listen very closely. That's why they will die. Are you following? If they worship the beast, they are lost. If they worship the beast, they are lost. Because they become idol worshippers. The 50 Jews were killed because of the law of God. They were not ready to compromise with it. The prophet told us Mussolini, Stanley, and the rest of them, they killed them during that time. Because of what? Because of that, of the word of God. That they knew, the prophet, the word of God, that they knew. Not the testimony of Jesus, but the testimony of God's word that they knew. The Torah, the word that they knew that Moses gave to them. They were killed. The righteous one that will also be there as well, they will not be worshippers of the beast. There is none of those that will be there that will take of that tree of life. As we have read there, they will all be overcomers. They may not overcome here. As we will see, the foolish virgins will die here because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why I say I want you to pay attention very closely. The prophet has analyzed what these people who will be in the eternity, what they will overcome. They will overcome overcomers only. That overcome the beast, overcome his mark. Everyone that took the mark of the beast is lost. Overtake his speed, they will overcome his mark. They will resist him. Every saint of old that have lived before now, that are in the sixth dimension, in their various blocks there, they have overcome the enemy in their time. As many as have slept in our time, they have also overcome this beast in this time. Now, in the sermon, how can I overcome? The prophet gave us this to understand. Let us read from paragraph 51. How can I overcome? Now we see this hour that we are living in, that we are in, this age, and we see what it was. And the Holy Ghost is rebuking the age that put him out. Which age put Jesus out? Huh? What is this age? What's the name of this age?
Laodicea. Yes.
Now we see this hour that we are in, this age, and we see what it was. And the Holy Ghost is rebuking the age that put him out. But in all that, did you notice? To him that overcometh. Even in that worldly wicked church age, him that overcometh. We find here that God has always had overcomers. He had overcomers in every age. There's always every time. In every age that there has been on earth, God has always had somebody he can put his hand on as a witness in the earth. He has never been without a witness. Though sometimes just one. You see, but he will have a witness. Wherever you are, maybe there are thousands of people there, and you happen to be the only Christian there. And if you can stand for the truth with the Spirit of God in you, then you'll be a witness. You'll be God's witness there, because you will overcome the system that operates there, that renders the word of God of none effect. You will represent God. You see? Somebody, but somebody overcome. Now, like the saints of old, praise be to God. Paragraph 75. In the days of Daniel, there were four overcomers that could stand the tests of the fire and lion. Now, we are expected to be tested. That's a good lesson for my brother back there also. He that cometh to God must first be tested. Tested what? With the word. And the prophet said, the reason we are brought here is to be tested. We came here directly from God's thoughts. We bypass our theophany. And we came to flesh. The prophet said that is why, so that we can be tempted. We can be tested. We can be tried. But Jesus Christ, being in God's thought as well, that God is going to be a savior and is going to be a son. The prophet said God wanted to be a son. He wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a savior. He wanted to be the redeemer. He wanted to be the healer, the deliverer. So his attribute projected, and those attributes manifested at the different ages where God allotted his word, that my attribute will manifest there, my attribute will manifest there, my attribute will manifest there. The attribute of his father manifested at a certain age. The attribute of his son manifested at a certain age. And that is what we see because of his program of redemption. We are tempted because we bypass our theophany. So we don't know when temptation is coming. And that is why when any event happens to a believer, when anything happens to a Christian, it's a test for you and for me. Whatever it might be, no matter how little that thing will be concerning that person, it's a test for you. Your attitude, what you are going to say about that person, is a test. And when you say certain things you ought not to say, you fail. God will repeat it for you again because you must overcome. The prophet said he cannot take us through the pipe and go and wait at the end of the pipe and pull you out. And then come and say you have overcome. The prophet says it's not like that.
You will go through it and feel the fire and feel the heat of it. But in the midst of that, he will give the strength to bear it. According to what he told us in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Chapter 10 verse 13. If I get the scripture right. But it should be the... Will it be this? I think it should be 1 Corinthians then. There is no temptation that is overtaking you that is not common to man. Temptation that is overtaking you that is not common to man. That should be 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. There has no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. That's for the elect. But we do say that everything that happens to a believer creates an atmosphere of trial and testing for the fellow believers. To see what you are going to do to the believers. And when we say testing and trials, not what you bring upon yourself. What God allows to come your way for your perfection. Not the problem you bring upon yourself. Though we still need his help when we bring problems upon ourselves. Because when you bring persecution upon yourself, it is not God bringing it. It's you. It's not meant for your perfection. Though all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to them that are called according to his purpose, everything as the way God does it. You cannot go out in the presence of the Muslims there, where they are. That's what I'm trying to say, when you bring that upon yourself. And they are in the front of the mosque, you go and carry, this bed, where they are doing the Allahu Akbar and say, repent, all of you, and give your life to Jesus. Repent and give your life to Jesus, where they are praying. We are looking for jihad. That's the better approach that the prophets have taught us on how to do it. It's not to go and be fanatical. That's fanaticism. You know you are going to stir their hunger. If they rise up there and kill you, you kill yourself. But like it happened to Stephen. You look at the circumstance that happened to Stephen that led to his martyr. That is God allowing that. May the Lord be our help. So, it's always very, very, is an admonition for us to watch what our actions and reactions will be to our fellow brothers. When it comes to time when they are passing through, their deep waters. We support them in prayers. We speak to them words of encouragement. We say we do the best that we can do. Because your own is coming. Your own, you can't escape it. Every son that cometh unto God must be tried. Hebrews chapter 12. And it's in different categories. The way God allows it, my trial is not your trial. Your trial is not mine. Some through the waters. Some through the flood. Some through the fire. Some will pass through fire, some will pass through the flood. But all of us, we will pass through the blood. May the grace of God be sufficient for us. So God bless you. Continue next week by God's grace. God bless you, sir.
Blessed Lord, we are very grateful we give this morning. We cannot thank you enough for your fatherly cares upon us. Through our last week, you ordered the step we took from on high. You guided our steps, O God. You did not permit the enemy to carry out his wicked plans. We are very grateful for making us to see the beginning of another week. We have assembled ourselves again unto you this morning, that you might further your works in our lives. And you do that through the preaching of your word. As we hear your word, your spirit give us revelation of the same. We pray you give us grace and ability to live by the same. Because we have been made to know, O God, that if we are hearers alone and not the doers, we are deceiving ourselves. Lord, we thank you for making it possible for us to sit and hear your word. Lord, give us grace, ability to live by everything that we have heard, Lord. As part of the people that have been prepared, made ready for that first great city. Father, have it be privileged to hear the beauty of the place. What good will it be if we will not be there? But our assurance is that before the world began, by your foreknowledge, O God, you knew us, and you wrote our names in the last book of life, where the name can never be deleted. That is our joy. We are very grateful, Father. Blessed be thy holy name, Lord. Once again, we appreciate you for this morning's teaching. Bless your servant, replenish him for the virtue that has led him. We are looking forward for the rest of the services of the day. We pray you continue to add your blessings upon the one that you have done already this morning. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.